This is a conversation with René Vogelers. Hi, René.
Hi, Serge.
So you do focusing with children?
Yes, I do it. I do it now for... I work a lot. I think the last 15 years I work daily with children, especially teenagers and younger children. And the last 8-9 years I daily do my focusing work with children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of development in that work here in Holland, but all, and a lot of interest here in Holland, but also in Europe and the other Europe, other countries in the world, about the quality of being in contact and focusing with children.
Yeah. So there's in some cases you do it in at school. In some cases you do it with parents. So I assume it's, you know, there's very lots of differences in how you work with children and why they come to see you.
Yeah. I shall I give some examples?
Yes, that would be great. That would be great.
I work for 2 days at the school. I work there as a creative guide. You can call me as a sort of counselor. You can call me, and some kids who have emotional, social emotional problems, they were just come to me, and I only do focusing in a way for them and invite and help them to be more in contact with their felt sense around some specific issue or topic in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the children, most of the teenagers, they are very able to express something of their felt sense in a material. So they can work with clay or crayon, or they can make a gesture or a movement. And for teenagers, it's much more easier to express something in creativity than in words.
Yeah.
For example, when a boy is, I work with a boy, his father died 1.5 years ago, and he is doing okay, but what he senses is that his sadness is still inside him. And he isn't able to talk about it, so he comes to me, and we both find small steps and ways so he can be more in touch with that felt sense around the sadness around the death of his father. And he really could sense that a larger part of him is very strongly just going to he and his mother are really doing well. And so he is able to contact his inner sadness, and he can express something in color or in a shape. And when he expresses something about that part, then afterwards, it's for him much more easier to find the words.
Mm.
Oh, it's more red, it has this shape, it's in my belly. So in a way, the way I work with children, I always very attuned to smaller details. In a way, sometimes when the child is so full, so in touched by his own story, so he starts to share and tell a bit of his story, then that's the entrance of our contact.
Yeah. So in a way, when the feeling is a bit of an overload, is scary,
yeah.
And you have a that softer way of going about it.
Yeah. And in a way, sometimes children don't have words yet, and so when they come to me, for example, I see that in his hand he has a little rock, for example. And then when we just start, he could sense that he's feeling okay, but then I noticing that his hand is carrying a little rock.
Mm-hmm.
And that object, when we pay our attention more to that object, then in that object lies the relation with his father. So that's the entrance of the focusing process. So he looked at the rock, he could sense the quality, and then he could sense more about the emotional quality inside himself. And after that, he's more able, oh, the rock is the rock from the garden for my father. Oh, I feel a bit melancholic. Mm-hmm. And oh, I can feel it somewhere around my heart. So in a way, I always try to find those four important elements with children. So the bodily part, the emotional quality, the shape or the symbol, and mostly the connection with their life and their story.
Mm, yeah. And so how it happens is, at first, you just simply notice that he's carrying a little rock.
Yeah.
And you just talk about the little rock and you explore that. Yeah. And it's only little by little that you notice the connection with his father.
Yeah. And in a way, what I really sense is, I learned a lot in all my studies to solve problems, to be very active in offering solutions and structure and boundaries, and the focusing attitude gives me so much more confidence in myself, just being present as a human being and being very attuned to small details that the child is showing to me. Like, for example, the rock. And that's then the first step. That's the start of the process.
Yeah. And in that process, you were mentioning, you know, the four things that you were paying attention to.
And it also could go the other way around. Sometimes I also work with younger children in my own practice. I work with parents and younger children. And I work with a boy with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of energy. And he only likes to move and likes to play. And it's harder for him to be really in contact with his feelings.
Mm.
And what I also offering, the way that I'm very present, I'm very fully present, and when he comes to me, he really wants to move and to start and to run, and what I just do is just be with that energy, just be with that moving, and just offering and mirroring what his hands and feet are doing or what he's saying. And just invite him in, invite that, all that energy, just noticing when there is a moment when there is a small change in that energy. And most of the time, after 10 or 15 minutes, that energy will change.
Mm-hmm.
That boy, and then he could notice more that he's more able to come and sit with me. And then we can do a small session, how are you now? Then he could notice the difference between a lot of energy and less energy. And so he starts to discover a different quality of his inner energy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that happens after the first, say, 15 minutes where, you know, you've been with him with his energy, and you said, during that time, you move, you let him move, but you also notice the variations in that energy.
Yeah.
So do you tell him about it? How do you give him feedback?
Yeah, I'm mostly very aware. I'm just describing, oh, your feet are running, or your hands are moving up and down, or I just really describing what the body language is.
Okay.
And noticing if that reflection has any connection with him. And for example, when I could say, oh, I see your feet are jumping or running, when I'm noticing that reflection really has a felt sense in his body, then there will be something changed in his behavior. Sometimes I notice when I say, oh, there's so much energy in your feet want to run.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they really stand still immediately, and they will look to his feet.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
And then they say, oh, there's so much energy in my feet. And then I invite them, just be aware of that energy that's so in your feet. Could you maybe describe or sense where it is? And then they close their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, it's my whole leg. My whole leg is full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a way, reflecting and mirroring really helps a child, even when they have a lot of energy, to sense that it's just a part of them.
Yeah. So it's very clear just when you describe this that there is a relationship of trust, that the child does not feel observed in a critical way, as you know, that because otherwise it's so easy to see how the child could freeze in their tracks as you're noticing the feet or anything else. So what happens? How is it? What's their understanding? What do you tell them? What is it that they understand about the way you work with them?
No, I mostly, the first contact, I explained a bit. I'm not always using the word felt sense. I'm using about that you could experience something inside of yourself. And mostly I share something. Oh, when was the last time when you were angry or sad? Or a very practical experience, or when was the last time you had really fun or was really happy? And I use those small, clear examples for them to invite them. Oh, could you sense maybe your sadness, a sad something is more in your stomach, a happy feeling is more in your whole body?
Mm-hmm.
Fighting to be more bodily aware that there's something happening inside of them. And all the children are very curious about what is happening inside of them. And what I'm realizing, the more I'm able to reflect that and just stay present, the more they feel the trust that they don't have to do anything against their will. They're able to connect with themselves. They can explore a bit of their own body, their own senses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you really have enlisted their curiosity about exploring inside.
Yeah. And what I'm really noticing, that a lot of children are very capable of sharing. They are so... Me as an adult, sometimes it's harder for me to be in a way. When you're grown up, you really get lose the connection a bit with your bodily sense.
Mm-hmm.
Children, when you offer them that containment, and they are very easily and capable of connecting with their inner sense, and they can describe it very, very detailed and very clear. Oh no, I can sense it in my belly, and it's hard, it's red, there's a smell on it, and it wants to jump, and
Yeah. So there is that connection, and you're mentioning the example of the kid has a lot of energy, ADHD, just wants to move around. And so what form does the movement take when the kid is arriving? I mean, what, the kid is sitting down, running around.
I just had an example of a little girl. She's 7 years old, and she was brought by her parents.
Yeah.
And she arrived in my place where I work, and I said goodbye to the parents, and when I came into the room, she was standing in the middle of the room, and just turning around and in circles and screaming. And my thoughts were, what is this? What is she doing? But immediately I was really present. So what I did was just doing exactly the same, just mirroring her noise, her movement. And then I'm noticing my own boundary, that I was becoming a bit dizzy. So I reflect back to her, I will stop, and you noticing if you want to go further. And after 5 minutes, she really fell down and was also a bit dizzy. But that was the start.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I'm offering a bit also boundaries. When children wanted to do very dangerous thing, I'm always reflecting what they wanted to do and using the word "and." That because of the safety aspect, it's too dangerous in that specific situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So both, to be with them, to follow what they're doing, to be in sync, but also to have boundaries.
Yeah. In a way, I always teach a lot of parents that it's so important to reflect to reflect and mirror child's behavior, and that what a child said. And it doesn't mean that you always have to say yes or always have to do what a child wants, but just let the child know that you are hearing his wish and that you're sensing that he really wants to do something. And it's not allowed in this moment, or it's too dangerous, or you have to go to bed, or
So that's the boundary part, that the adult is not a child.
No. And in a way, the more you are able as an adult to stay open and respectful, so not become angry or frustrated, or the more you're able to contain the child's inner and outer feelings.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, say, the beginning of the session is essentially some moment where you attune to the child's energy and with them, and then there's some kind of a transition where, from just the outer energy, there's something about being more aware of what's happening inside.
Yeah.
And you mentioned one of the ways it happens is by giving feedback about what you observe of the body.
Yeah.
Are there other ways you make the transition, or is that just in general the way that you you go help a child go inside?
No, I think that's you can also sometimes. You can also invite always the children to lead their attention more inward to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When children are more capable, the more they are aware with their inner senses, their inner feeling, the more they are able to lead their attention inward. And so I invite them always, even, after they are working with me, that I mostly give them a school booklet with some crayons. So each moment when they sense something inside, they could be with that. So I teaching them the small focusing steps. So mm-hmm. they're just practicing with yourself, not I'm feeling sad. No, there is something in me is sad. Or just find a way, it's somewhere in my chest. And maybe you can invite your hand to draw or express something with it on paper. So using the small elements, focusing steps, children can really find their own inner skills, how mm-hmm. to use that.
Yeah.
Is that an answer on your question?
Absolutely. I have that sense of something that focusing in general is very gentle, but it seems even more gentle and focusing on the small step of the moment.
And I'm also, it's also a bit of being interactive with the child. Children really, it's also about making contact together, being in each other aliveness, being in each other energy. And what I also experience when I'm a bit angry or a bit sad, children always immediately noticing that. They really say immediately, "Oh, Renee, why are you looking so funny? Are you angry? What's the matter with you? And then I say, "Okay, yeah, you're right. There's something in me, and I will take care of it by myself." So as soon as I'm not fully present or taking care of my own inner feelings or parts, children will notice that.
Yeah. So that emotional transparency.
Mm-hmm. And that's and the more I'm able to be present and transparent with myself,
mm-hmm.
the more I'm able, and that's what children are so capable of, the nonverbal vitality of myself. Who am I? What am I doing? Can I be transparent? Can I be congruent to the child? That's really helpful for me in my work with children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's also not the difficult part, but it's the part that's a hard working process for myself.
Yeah. So,
and I also think that's the quality of being present with another kid, with another, a lot of focusers are in the focusing world, or even a lot of people really start to worry about the health and the process of getting older with children. So there's a lot of, here in Europe, in Holland, there's a lot of attention to what do children really need to grow up more healthy, to mm-hmm. grow being aware of themselves, being aware of their own boundaries. And focusing is for me a very natural, respectful way to be with that and to taught the children their own inner feelings and their own inner boundaries.
Yeah. So when you see children in school, it's because they have some problem adapting to the curriculum, to regular school. When you see parents and children in your private practice that their parents bring in, what are, you know, the reasons? What are they looking for?
Mostly they are what I experienced here in Holland, that sometimes most children cannot express themselves. Parents are worried that there are a lot of sadness or anger in their child. And sometimes they have looked for other therapies or support somewhere else. But mostly it isn't enough for the child. And my experience that because of the focusing is so attuned to the child's own possibilities and his own process, that it really directly relate to that specific issue for the child. And I cannot go faster than the slowest process of the child, so that helps me to be so aware of the present situation. And I just support most of the parents just to be so aware of that present moment and the quality of their child, how they are right now.
So, does it mean that when you work with children in your practice, you also work with the parents?
Yeah, mostly the child is the child is coming for focusing sessions,
mm-hmm.
and mostly after 4 or 5 times, we have a small evaluation together with the child and the parents. What is helpful? What has changed? What needs some more attention? So I also advise the parents just to follow a level 1 focusing course,
mm-hmm.
or advise the Martha's book, and most of them are really into it because they're realizing, oh, the things we are doing now are not so successful in my relation with my own child. And I really believe that parents and even the child has always something what wants to move forward. What needs they need the situation that is bad. They want to change it to be much better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I connect with that forward energy in the parents and in the child, that's that they found really supportive for themselves.
Yeah, so that's an encouragement for them to
be
more
attuned
to the child. Yeah,
sometimes just realizing, using the word, for example, when a child at the daycare center where are trained the parents who are there with the babies. One of the parents said his 1-year-old boy doesn't want his food. So he was throwing his food through the room. And he was screaming and yelling, and the parents were really angry and exhausting. But realizing and reflecting to the child back, there's something in you that's angry. There's something in you. Your hands wants to throw the food and it isn't allowed.
Mm.
Just those words,
mm-hmm.
parents, was a huge difference for themselves, realizing that there is something in the child that is upset or angry, or it's, and that helps the parents to be more aware. Oh, now he's upset, but maybe within half an hour there could be something else. And it helps them to relate in a different way to feelings with even the small kids of 1, 1.5 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, so that sense of, just fully seeing, now you're angry.
Mostly they said before they were really exhausted and they were sad. Oh, my child doesn't listen, and I'm a bad parent. I'm not able to, and just noticing that it's just a moment in there.
And
that was just a start, or it isn't always the whole solution, but it's a start. Naming that there is something in your child that's upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not. Something is happening, my child is resisting me, not paying attention to me, it's always the case, but right now my child is upset. Yeah. We've talked about what's happening in the session, what's happening to the child, it's also what's happening, the change is what's happening between the parent and the child, and just fostering that attention to something else and to the carrying forward.
Yeah.
So how Is there something you might want to say to conclude this, or is this a good place to end?
No, I think that it's really helpful for me working with children to find always the part that even with teenagers, there's always a part in them that wants to move forward. And there's a lot of resistance to teenagers. They are not, you can easily quarrel and fight with them about a lot. But when they really sense your trust in that part that wants to move forward with them,
mm-hmm.
that's helpful for me, but also helpful for the contact.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people all over the world starts to get more interested in oh, it's better to start to learn focusing as early as possible instead of discovering when you are 40 and sensing, oh, there's something in me really bothered. I need something else, and then just discovering the quality of focusing and just thinking, it would be wonderful that I know focusing when I was 10 or 15.
Yeah. Yes.
And maybe it's good. There is a lot of new things happening in the children focusing. They're becoming more and more children focusing trainers and coordinators who are able to give the 60-hour children focusing training.
Mm-hmm.
And probably at the end of the year there will be, Nada has filmed me in a workshop and I have done some sessions with children nearby her house, and at the end of the year there will be a DVD about that children focusing process and approach.
Great.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always, I just get back from the summer school in London when I teached for 4 mornings, and I'm really always enjoying it, my work with children. I'm enjoying it, the focusing attitude, the focusing skills. It's a pleasure getting in contact with myself in a focusing way, but also getting in contact with the children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Renee.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.